Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hail, hail the Spiderwick Chronicles. Roku Channel's fantasy adventure series didn't take long to become the most watched debut of that destination. An internet radio exclusive chat with executive producer, developer, and showrunner Aaron Colite joins me next. And that begins when he does. Also ahead, X secures its smart TV spot, WAPA America gives birth to WAPA Plus, our classic trivia question, and a special event tomorrow that yours truly won't be attending. We'll explain. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and 45 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Today's program is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. 57 degrees at the top of the hour, a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in New York. Welcome to a special edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Hello to you and you and you out there, especially you. Happy you're with us. We got a great guest coming for you over the next, 45, 50 minutes and change. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in. When you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. And we've got our chat room open. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, already aboard. So you join him. How? You go to blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phrase SimonApple04, and you are in the room. And Aaron Colite from the Spiderwick Chronicles on the Roku channel. He'll join us live from Studio City, California, right after these news notes. X, a.k.a. Twitter, fulfilled its long-held quest to be a smart TV streaming service today. At the start, this incarnation of X consists of video series running commercial-free, featuring Jim Rome, Don Lemon, Tulsi Gabbard, and other personalities and news commentators. Viewers also can upload their own videos on the X Smart service. And other features, trending topics and video lists, for example, will be introduced in the near future, with such interactive elements as commerce a factor later on. No word yet on which smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles will offer this X offshoot. WAPA America owner Hemisphere Media Group gave birth to WAPA this morning. The Roku channel will be the first multi-channel bundle carrier of this service, offering 70-plus hours a week of news, information, and entertainment programming from Puerto Rico in Spanish. WAPA America will continue to be distributed to U.S. consumers via cable and satellite operators. Another bundle-running service from Hemisphere Media Group, ES24, aimed at the El Salvadorian population here in the United States, is scheduled to premiere soon. Now, quickies, 41 nominations for the Peabody Awards were announced this afternoon, all for achievements in news, documentary, public service, and radio podcast content. Nominated TV series include Independent Lens, Murder in Boston, and Frontline. One more group of Peabody candidates will be unveiled Thursday. Disney Plus's special Bluey episode, The Sign, picked up 10.4 million views its first week there. Prime Video will bring back its in-person experience events at NYA West in Los Angeles. The first panel session happens tomorrow, with the full event continuing until May 20th. And the next season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars will have 8 former contestants of the Mothership series vying for $200,000, donated for the first time to a charity of the winner's choice. Paramount Plus will kick off this All-Stars run on May 17th. That is news notes for today. And now joining me from Studio City, California, the executive producer, developer, and showrunner of the Spiderwick Chronicles, now playing on the Roku channel to great public appearance, or great public acceptance, from Studio City, California, Aaron Colite. Aaron, congratulations. Welcome into the show.
Simon, thank you so much, and thank you for having me. What a great day to be celebrating this with you.
It certainly is, Aaron. Are you on cloud 9 or 10 about what Roku said this morning, that your series is the number one on-demand viewed program in Roku and the Roku channel's history?
Cloud 10 is definitely appropriate. It's overwhelming. It's totally overwhelming. It feels like a bit of a pardon the phrase, Cinderella story of so long that we've been working on the show. So many people have put so much effort into it, and for it to be received with this enthusiasm by the Roku audience is really overwhelming.
And this is a program that almost did not get on the air because it was supposed to go someplace else, and that someplace else canceled it.
That is true. And it wasn't really even a cancellation. It's a tax write-off, which is almost worse than a cancellation. because they just needed to take the money. And that is very cynical. And so Roku really did. They swept in. They really saved the day. And not just, you know, for me personally, but, you know, it takes 300-plus artists to make a TV show. And for their work to finally be seen, it feels like a miracle. And the amount of love and care that Roku put into launching the series and making sure that that its audience would have every opportunity to see it just spoke to their dedication and their care. And it paid off because, you know, we wouldn't be the number one most watched show in Roku's history if it wasn't for all of us coming together to collaborate on this.
And we should make it clear, it was Disney Plus that was the mega content service that originally had greenlighted this series and then decided, because of the tax write-off, because they were also dealing with cost-cutting from the top from parent Walt Disney, that this whole cycle situation happened. Let's find out about the Spiderwick Chronicles. First of all, for those who don't know, it is based on a hugely popular series of books in the fantasy adventure genre. How did, this series get to be made, and how did you get involved with it?
You know, it's a funny story in that when it was first presented to me, I said no. I make a joke because the series that I did previous to this was a series called Lock and Key, but essentially I make the joke that my niche is I do stories about families that move to Victorian mansions and find out that magic exists. That is my very narrow window of what I do. So when Spiderwick was first presented to me, I felt like, look, I already did this. I did this in Lock and Key. Why do I need to do this again? And then very wisely, the head of Paramount, who is the studio behind Spiderwick Chronicles, called me and said, please give it, just read it one more time. Just give it a read. And I read it when it first came out. I read it to my children. They loved it. I loved it. And Nicole Clemens, the president of Paramount, said, just read it one more time. And I did. And this is over 4 years ago now at this point. And when I read it, the story of not only the magical creatures and the wondrous world that Tony DiTullisi and Holly Black created, which is so amazing, spoke to me, but more, the human characters were really speaking to me, specifically Jared, I would describe him as, this season is definitely Jared's story. And his mental health struggles really resonated with me. It resonated with me personally as somebody who grew up and I was a bit of a punk. I was in trouble all the time. I got shitty grades. Pardon me. But, you know, that really resonated with me. But more than that, it resonated with me to see what my kids were going through. This is at the beginning of the pandemic, and they were having their own mental health struggles with anxiety and depression. And I felt like this was an opportunity to really talk about those issues and to destigmatize them and do it in a way that wasn't about force-feeding medicine, but we could do it through the lens of fantasy so we can make it that much more poignant.
And we are speaking with Aaron Colite. He is the executive producer, developer, and showrunner of the Spiderwick Chronicles, now in his first month on the Roku channel, available not just on Roku, but on other smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles, as Amazon Fire TV, Samsung, and Android TV sets, as well as Google TV sets as well. Aaron joins us live from Studio City, California, this half hour here on Smart Be Televised, special episode on Tuesday afternoon for you, and especially you out there. Tom Adam with you live from New York, 57 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Second of four episodes we are doing this week. We're going to be back with you on Thursday evening. That's evening or early evening New York time or East Coast time and mid-afternoon on the West Coast because we've got live from Australia, the executive producer of the new Nat Geo series, Secrets of the Octopus, that premiered this past Sunday night, overseen by none other than James Cameron, Adam Geiger. He will join us live from Australia. And then later on this half hour, we'll tell you about a big 90-minute issue we've got coming your way the following afternoon, our regular time period. You will not want to miss it. Aaron, for those people who don't know about the book series and the series, give us a synopsis of what happens with the Spiderwick Chronicles, how they unfold.
Absolutely. Well, it's a story about the Grace family who move into, in the books, they move into a small town in New England. We changed it in the book, in the television series, to be a small town in Michigan. But they move into their great-great-grandfather's estate, the Spiderwick estate, where they discover a field guide, a bestiary of sorts, that explores what's called the invisible world of all manner of creature, from fairy to sprite to hag to goblin to hobgoblin to ogres and trolls. And in discovering this, it opens up the world. Discovering the field guide, it opens up the world of magic to the Grace children, to Jared, his twin brother Simon, and their older sister Mallory. And they come across, in the book series, they come across a boggart brownie named Simbletack. They learn about dwarves and fairies and elves. And in the final book of the series, of the first five, they meet an ogre named Mulgrath, who is intent on raising dragons so that he can devour everyone. We have taken from books 1 and 3 to craft our season, but there's so much more to dive into in subsequent seasons.
Did the authors of the Chronicles, Tony Gilfilisi and Holly Black, were they inspired by the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis?
I'm sure they were definitely inspired by that, but they were inspired by so much else. In our very, very first chat, and it just so happened that I was in my library when we were talking the first time, you know, they were inspired by books like Brian Froud's Fairies and Jim Henson's, the whole work of Jim Henson, but, you know, including Labyrinth, Dungeons and Dragons. The amount of lore that Tony and Holly hold in their fingertips is really incredible and inspiring. So when we first talked, we vibed on all things fantasy, not just C.S. Lewis, but, you know, it's Lord of the Rings. There's some Harry Potter certainly mixed in there, but their roots go back really to Brian Froud's work is what really inspired them initially.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a moment ago that you worked on Lock and Key, which was a very popular show on Netflix. How did you bring that experience, what you did and didn't do with that series, into this series?
It's just a very, you know, it turns out that they're very, very different shows, especially in creature creation. Lock and Key is much more about dark magic and these magical keys that can do incredible things. This is much more about world building in terms of how do our magical creatures really exist? How do we make them feel grounded? How do we make them feel as if you can go out into your backyard and find them? Additionally, the themes are completely different. Lock and Key is really about grief, mourning, loss. This is about mental health. This is about our interior struggles and how we are afraid to name them and how we can not just overcome them because you don't get over them, but you accept them.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the cast that you had for this and how you encouraged them to deal with issues like mental health. The lead actress, Joy Bryan, who plays the mother of the Grace family, she's dealing with the aftermath of divorce, which you could also say is in part a mental health issue. So how do you, when you got the cast together, how did you encourage them individually and as a unit to deal with the mental health issues that you tackled?
First of all, the cast is just, you know, amazing. Joy Bryant, who you mentioned, unbelievable. And it really, I mean, the core of this family, Joy Bryant, Charlene Woodard, who plays Aunt Lucinda, and all of our young actors, you know, Lyon Daniels, Noah Cottrell, Michaela Lee, you know, they were all open for it and really what drew them to the roles was how complex the characters were and the emotions that they were going through. It starts with you know, a lot of it really starts with Joy and being the mother not only in acting but also very maternal to these young actors and wanting to protect them and wanting to help them deal with it. Joy and I had lots of conversations as well as with our our pilot director, Kat Coiro, about how to deal with this. And it's through really making sure that there's always open, honest communication and communication, period, so that if people are having trouble with performing or dealing with the subject matter, that we can have a conversation and we'll find the way through the script, and so that the intention will always become clear through their acting, because they're the ones who have to do it. They have to get up there and perform these words, and they have to make them feel legitimate and earned and honest. Additionally, you know, we're blessed by having an actor like Christian Slater as Mulgrath as our villain. And the joy that he brings to set, the enthusiasm of playing this villain, but he's also incredibly supportive. He was there to make sure that we weren't taking things too seriously all the time or getting too bogged down in the weeds. He was always there with a great joke, but also always there to support this cast and make sure that especially Lion, Noah, Michaela, that they were really, you know, knew that they were supported, and that because this is a big deal to carry a show at their age. And they did it with a lot of grace.
Hmm. About Christian Slater's character, what inspiration did he have for playing it the way he did? The character, by the way, is Mulgrath.
Mulgrath, that's right. You know, I think that he took a lot of inspiration from some Jack Nicholson performances. He likes to say, you know, he took a lot from The Shining. I think he took a lot from Witches of Eastwick. But I think that there's a lot of Jack Nicholson hiding in his performance. But more so, you know, I think he looked at megalomaniacal characters in our modern day world that seem to spew a lot of ideas that are not necessarily so kind. And Christian took a lot from them as well. So he really wanted to make a character that was, you know, pardon the pun, but delicious, as Mulgrath just wants to eat people is his really only goal. And that being a villainous goal, but he needs to play this role of a human in disguise. So the ability of him to land the humor and the menace within scenes, just speaks to his craft and how awesome he is.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Charlene Woodyard, whose career I followed for a very long time. She plays Aunt Lucinda in this. Some people might remember that way, 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 way back when she was Cinderella, I believe, in a made-for-TV movie. It was on ABC. Did she ever talk about that? About that at a time when she was a child, a teen actress, and had that opportunity?
You know, she didn't talk about that, but Charlene is just amazing. I talked with her about her own writing. You know, the main thing that Charlene said, and it's so interesting that you bring up, you know, went to that role, because she said in her career she's not been able to play a lot of fantasy roles like this, especially as kind of wild and whimsical as Aunt Lucinda is. And she delighted in the fact, and she very much is this role. She is gregarious, and she is out there, and she is so fun and mercurial. And for her to be able to, like, play in this world, you could just see the joy in her performance and the wonder in her performance. She just loved everything that she was able to do. And I didn't want to ever restrain her. I wanted her to continuously go for it, because it was such an enjoyable performance. But you could just tell, like, this is beyond performance. This is really important to her. And I wanted to make sure that shined through.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Spiderwick Chronicles. It is the brand new Roku Channel original series that is running not only the Roku Channel, available on Roku, which, by the way, the Roku Channel also has a great multi-channel bundle of the 350-plus channels here in the U.S. alone, and others around the world, too. But also, you can find the Roku Channel on Amazon Fire TV, Samsung Smart TV sets, Smart TV sets with the Google TV or Android TV brand. And we are speaking with Aaron Collide. He is the developer, main writer, executive producer, showrunner, everything, or some, so it seems, with this series. And he joins us live from Studio City, California this half hour, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy, I'm with you live from New Weather, York. Happy that you're with us on a special Tuesday afternoon edition. 57 degrees at the bottom of the hour. You have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with Aaron, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Whatever you do, don't miss this Friday's episode at our regular time. Reaping the Stupid Cynic. It's a big 90-minute one from the acclaimed HBO miniseries The Sympathizer, starring Robert Downey Jr. in multiple roles. We will have co-star Ki Zwin. When you hear about her backstory, including that for a time, she was one of the most popular personalities on television in Vietnam. You will not want to miss it. Also, we will celebrate 10 years of Series Fest, the Denver-based TV festival, one of the biggest ones in the country, and we'll do that with director performing Claire Taylor. That event starts a week from tomorrow in Denver. And finally, remember yesterday we told you about the controversial AI-generated movie from TCL, the smart TV set maker called Next Stop Paris? Well, on Friday's episode, we will have the chief content officer of TCL and their brand new studios unit, Chris Regina. He'll talk about that project, where it's going this summer, when it premieres, and other projects that TCL is doing in the original series and special space. It's all coming your way in a big 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and TuneIn Radio. Aaron, dealing with the issues of mental health, you went to some big lengths to do it. I understand that you had a consultant from UCLA that you partnered with to consult with you about how to treat these subjects in the course of your adventures.
Oh, yeah. A wonderful consultant named Dr. Yalda Uhls from the Center of Scholars and Storytellers at UCLA. It was really important that we got this exactly right. You know, it's a touchy subject, and we wanted to do it with the utmost care and accuracy.
And what about the writing room? I know you wrote the first episode. You wrote some other episodes, too, but you have other writers as well. How did you deal with this subject among your writers? What did you encourage them to do to make sure that you were trying to be as accurate and as real amidst the unreality as possible?
It's, I love that phrase, being real amongst the unreality. Our staff was incredible. Jen Cao, Dennis Aldua, Jasmine Peck, Hannah Ahn, Charlie Paulin. It was just a really great team. And, you know, I don't know if you've had other writers on talking about the writer's room, but for me, the writer's room, you know, is this really sacred space. It really needs to be protected because essentially what we're doing in there is not only breaking story, we're not only figuring out how the beats of the story and the dialogue and all the stuff that goes into it, but it is really a place because all of our stories really can need to be generated from personal experiences. And so we talk about that in the writer's room. We talk about what it like feels like to be othered and to feel like an outcast, to not be believed. And those come from sharing our personal stories. And I always want to create just a very welcoming, warm, safe space so that the writers can talk about what happened to them, so that we can share these things and then translate that into story. So that we know when Jared is acting out that it's coming from a place of reality. It happened to one of us, if not more than one of us. So it's really about making sure that the writers know that this is a safe place to talk and that we need to go to the depths of these places to get some honest stories, because it's the honesty of the stories that really contrasts, as you said, the reality with the unreality. We need to contrast the drama with the fantasy. So the fantasy pops, but the drama also feels earned and natural and honest.
Any reaction from viewers so far to what you're doing, especially touching these subjects?
There's been some amazing reactions. I mean, there's been – it's and the two that really stand out are whether it's in the mental health capacity – there's a lot of people who, you know, are on the neurodiversity spectrum, and this show is really speaking to them and has, you know, feels like it's being called out in a way that hasn't been done before. So that feels really profound. And I think the other thing that feels really profound is seeing a mixed race family in a fantasy setting. It doesn't happen that often. And fantasy is a huge genre that crosses all races and skin tones, and that this is specifically, you know, a Black family, is very rare. And so to be able to have the faith of Tony and Holly that we adapted it to be a Back family and to tell that story is really significant. And it's really special to be able to, and it's an honor to be able to tell that story from this perspective.
Mm-hmm. So where does the story go from here?
Oh man, that's a great question. We have so many ideas of what season two can entail. I think we end on a pretty significant cliffhanger. So we just need people to keep on watching and telling their friends to watch so that we can continue to tell the story.
I mentioned the authors before. They're also executive producers with you on this series. What kind of guidance have they given you in terms of how to do this fantasy adventure?
I mean, they have been so supportive and so integral to the making of this show. I started collaborating with them from jump because it's really important to me on making any adaptation. They're the keepers of the lore. They know the series. They know the stories better than anybody. So, you know, I would often, you know, A, they were involved in the writing room for the first month, making sure we were telling the story correctly. We always listened to their notes and had meaningful consultation on everything. But more so, when they had an issue, I really needed to take it seriously because they know that they created this. This is their world. I'm adapting it for a different medium. So they know the pitfalls. They know who these characters are and how they would act. They know wrong paths to go down. And in addition to all of that, which is all really significant, you know, they are just so immersed in lore and mythology. It's overwhelming. But for example, we have a character named Calliope who's not in the books, but is an addition to the series because we needed Mulgrath to have a hench person. He needs somebody to talk to. He needs somebody to plot and plan with. And in creating this character, you know, initially I was like, oh, well, it's probably a goblin and that will be closer to the books and to the movie. And they're like, no, it's goblin. That's not a goblin. Like, Calliope can't be a goblin. It's not how it works. And they introduced the concept of a fetch, which is a creature that is a portent of death. And it's a creature that I've never heard of before. But they illuminate these new creatures for me and for the entire audience so that we get to create a whole new character, but is definitely part of the DNA of Spiderwick.
One other thing before we let you go, Aaron, based on your experience with this show and with Lock and Key, what do you think is most important to bring concepts like both these series visually to life in terms of how you do the cinematography, how you do the special effects, how you integrate that with the characters and the actors?
That is a fantastic question. You know, I think that, the most important thing is to have buy-in and making sure that everybody is rowing in the same direction. And that I can't underestimate that. I can't even overstate it. Everybody has to be making the same show because what happens when you're not is you get dysfunction and you get really different opinions and this creature should look this way and this creature should look that way. And only when you're really aligned and you're making the same show together do you get something that's really cohesive. Do you have a cinematographer who's excited to, you know, and we had an amazing cinematographers from Alvin Kunst and Lindsay George to the incredible Florian Bauhaus. You know, these are a group of different artists with different ideas, but they come together and make the same show. We're all making the same show. And so because everybody will add their two cents to it, but is making sure that it is cohesive and that we're all on board with this is the Spiderwick Chronicles. This is the story that we want to tell. This is how we want to tell it. And making sure that everybody is excited and enthusiastic about telling that same story.
You can catch the Spiderwick Chronicles on the Roku channel, which has not only a lot of great original programs, but also a lot of great channels, over 350. And they're available on all Roku smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Also available on Amazon Fire TV, Samsung TV sets, as well as television sets and devices that either are operated with the Android TV or Google TV operating system. For more details about the promo online, go to Roku.com. It's R-O-K-U.com. And Roku and the Roku channel will be here in New York City a week from today as part of the Interactive Ad Bureau's annual Digital Content New Front. We'll be covering it for Media Village, the media leadership website. Again, Roku with their presentation 1 week from today here in New York as part of the Interactive Ad Bureau's annual Content New Front. For more details about that, www.iab.com. Aaron Kalai, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations to you and everybody involved for making Spiderwick go, go, go on Roku channel, and hopefully this season, the 1st of May to come.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon. It was great to be here.
Same here, Aaron. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care. Aaron Kalai joining us live from Studio City, California, executive producer, developer, and showrunner, also head writer, too, of the Spiderwick Chronicles, now playing on the Roku channel on Roku smart TV sets and devices and other smart sets and devices near you. Coming up next, our classic trivia question of the week that we introduced yesterday, free prize in play. And then there's an event taking place here in New York tomorrow that yours truly will not be going to. I'll explain that. All that after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, city.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love independent music, you want to see new artists break out, check out the Independent Music Showcase on Blog Talk Radio. Next episode tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's the Independent Music Showcase right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR comes your way always on YouTube. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Amba with you live from New Web, New York. 57 degrees, bottom of the hour, a beautiful day here in the Big Apple. Happy to have you aboard, wherever you may be. To all of our Jewish listeners, we hope you're having a great start of Passover. Night number two, second night, Seder night, happening in a few hours. And we hope you celebrate it. You celebrate it joyfully and at peace as well with you and your family. All right, time now for our classic trivia question. It's the question that we introduced on yesterday's program. Three prizes are in play. We have a Starbucks card from the folks at Moonrock. We have playing cards, a wonderful deck from the folks at Chime TV, the Asian American Television Network, also known as Golden TV. And we have an amazing CD for you. It's a two-CD set, Songs for Japan, featuring great performances, including some live in performance by the likes of Bob Dylan, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Beyonce, Bruno Mars, Katy Perry, Josh Groban, Keith Urban, Pink, Sade, Justin Bieber, Adele, and many, many more. And all three of these prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row. Complete the title of this 1972 to 1974 syndicated and animated program. Wait till blank, 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 blank. Complete the title of this 1972-74 syndicated and animated series. Wait till blank, 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 blank. Incidentally, episodes, including the opening title sequence, they are on YouTube. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. So if you win, you get the prize mailed to you as soon as possible. If you are a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. And remember, if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. If you haven't heard, X is now a video service available on some smart TV sets and smart TV devices. If not now, soon will. So again, Facebook, you can catch it at Simon Applebaum. X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum. X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time, the question. Complete the title of this 1972 to 1970 syndicated and animated series. Wait till blank, 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 blank. You know the answer? Get going with the email, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Email entries only. And in order to win, you got to play in. Do so today, and all the very best. And in addition to Tomorrow Be Televised, you can see me this Thursday, not tomorrow, Thursday, on the very popular Sports News Wire. It's the daily news information hour on the award-winning Sports Grid Network. I'll be talking, because it is the NFL draft day, night one, we'll have a preview of the NFL draft TV coverage and some things you might not know about. We'll also talk about perhaps the NBA and the status of the new TV rights deal and much, much more. That's Sports News Wire, All you want to know about the world of TV sports news information, betting information too, that's coming your way every weekday, including my day on Thursday for this week only. That's Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles such as Amazon Freebie and Local Now. Coming up next, a comment about an event taking place tomorrow afternoon that yours truly will not be at. And we'll do the explanation after we give you this message from Liquid IV. If you haven't heard, there's a new wellness routine making the rounds. It's easy to take, keeps you in great shape as well, and that is Liquid IV. It's a great-tasting drink mix in stick form that when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get five essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and vitamin C, plus three times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. There's 12 flavors to try. They're all delicious and refreshing, like Concord Grape, Passion Fruit, and Watermelon, plus a line of delicious sugar-free flavors like green grape and peach. Liquid IV is gluten, dairy, and soy-free. So what you got to do, get on the Liquid IV bandwagon, is go to liquidiv.com. That's where you order, and you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. It's 20% off anything you order when you shop for better hydration today. Just go to liquidiv.com. That's liquidiv.com. And when you order, use the promo code TELEVISED, T-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, to get that 20% discount. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. There's no question that one of the great entrepreneurs in television, someone who has parlayed from one arena of television to many of them at the same time, is Byron Allen. It wasn't so long ago that Byron Allen was a small-time syndicator with a service called Entertainment Studios, where he put together all sorts of shows like Entertainers and many, many others. And before that, you may have known him in the 1980s as a wonderful teenage stand-up comic who later became one of the co-stars of the popular NBC series Real People. It turned out to be quite groundbreaking, from the creator of Laugh-In, George Slaughter. Well, Allen has now turned his empire into a big empire, Allen Media Group. In addition to syndication, which he still does with more shows than ever, including the popular game show Funny You Should Ask, and a variety of courtroom shows, including ones helmed by Lauren Lake, Judge Greg Mathis, Ebony K. Williams, Judge Hackett, and so on and so forth. He also is the owner of broadcast stations. He is the owner of cable networks, including the Weather Channel in Espanol, which launched almost 2 years ago, Pattern, which is all about the environment, as well as Justice Central, My Destination, Pets.tv, and others. And he also is a proprietor of smart TV multi-channel bundles, such as HBCU Go, devoted to the world of historically black college university sports and campus life, as well as the very popular Local Now, which is one of the fastest-growing multi-channel bundles around. Allen has had not only a great career on his own as an entrepreneur, but he also has had a great career promoting other African-American-owned media. For 2 years, at the end of the pandemic, 2021 and 2022, he put together, with the help of TV News Check, a special event known as the Black-Owned Media Upfronts. I went to both those events, both them virtually. We wrote about them and for Media Village and covered them also on this program. And over the years, we have covered Allen's various TV enterprises. We covered the launch of the Weather Channel in Espanol. We've also covered some of the individual shows like Funny You Should Ask that he has syndicated or put on some of his various cable networks as well as multicast channels. And we have done a lot of news notes about what he has been up to. Well, tomorrow afternoon, for the second year in a row, Allen Media Group is going to have a special presentation where they're going to talk to the advertisers about what they've got coming up in the season ahead, 2024-2025. He will also have a lot of the personalities from his various channels also there. For example, last year he had Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel, who also does the segments on CBS Mornings. He had some of the other Weather Channel forecasters. He had Judge Mathis. He had Meryl Milan. He had Ebony K. Williams and some of the other judges and other people from his various shows. I covered it. It was over at the restaurant across from Radio City Music Hall. It's a fantastic restaurant, multi-level, spacious, beautifully designed. They have the best grilled octopus around. I could have a meal just with grilled octopus from there. And I wrote about it for Media Village and talked about it also on this program. Well, that event is coming back tomorrow at the very same restaurant with one exception. Yours truly will not be there. That's right. I will not be there. Why? No clue. Really, no clue. I did not get an invite. I emailed the publicist at Fallon Media Group for an invite. No answer. I also went to Al Media Group's site, got to the contact page, and put in my request for an RSVP and to get the details about tomorrow's event. No answer. Decision got made. No cover. And you have to wonder why. You also have to wonder whether it's not just me, your friendly neighborhood journalist who does this program, but also other journalists, other members of the press are also not getting the RSVP to be there tomorrow afternoon. I haven't got a clue. I'm stymied. I'm shocked that this is the case. I will promise you one thing, actually two. Number one, that on Thursday's episode, whatever news does come out of that event tomorrow, we'll bring it to you in our news notes section. And number two, for the last 2 years, we have invited Byron to come on this program for a full hour. We did it in 2022 as part of our 15th anniversary event, the first Monday of August. And we did it last year, first Monday of August, 2023, our 16th anniversary episode. He unfortunately did not do it. That's the word that we got from Al Media Group's PR people. So I want you to know that that invitation is open-ended and open. So no matter what, if Byron would like to come on this program, he is more than welcome to. I am not going to let something like this be a detour or be a block to having one of the most important entrepreneurs in television, in many aspects of TV, come on this program and talk about them and talk about his incredible career and talk about what he thinks about the state of black-owned television networks, some of whom from his media upfronts we have had in this program, like Stellar, like HBC, by the way, HBCU Go, Curtis Simons, former executive at ESPN and BET, has been on this program at least twice. So, Byron, you are welcome to come on at any time, really. And of course, we will continue to monitor and follow what he's doing with his various TV and media enterprises, because you should know about them. After all, he is one amazing entrepreneur. And that will do it for this edition of WMRB Televised. Again, I want to thank Aaron Kalite, the executive producer, showrunner, developer, head writer of the Spiderwick Chronicles. Again, you can catch that program on the Roku channel, on Roku smart TV sets and smart TV devices, plus on other smart TV sets and devices as well. And again, Roku will be part of the Interactive Ad Bureau's annual digital content new front 1 week from today. Remember, coming your way on Thursday, we're going to be with you, special time, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 3 p.m. Pacific, 3 hours later than normal. So we're going to be on early evening on the East Coast and mid-afternoon in the West, and everything willing, we will have, live from Australia, the executive producer of the new Nat Geo series that premiered on Sunday night, Secret of the Octopus, Adam Geiger. He'll be live from Australia. And then this Friday, 90-minute edition coming your way at our regular time with the co-star of the acclaimed new HBO miniseries, The Sympathizer, Keys Wynn, Claire Taylor, the director performing at Series Fest, which 1 week from Wednesday will begin its 10th year of existence in the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado. And we will have the chief content officer of TCL, the smart TV set maker, one of the key people behind the unique AI-generated made-for-TV movie, Next Stop Paris, that premieres this summer, Chris Regina. We also may have Daniel Smith, the chief creative officer, as well in that same segment. We're still waiting for a confirmation on that. We'll keep you posted, let you know, on Thursday's episode. So all that coming your way, Thursday and Friday. Thursday, remember the special time, 6 p.m. on the East Coast and 3 p.m. on the West. And you can know everything in between. For those who are catching us, and we have some folks listening from Australia, it'll be Friday morning your time. So you check it out 3 hours later than you usually get the program. So that's all on Thursday and Friday, regular time, here on Tomorrow We Televise. And remember, you can catch me on Thursday, not tomorrow, Thursday, on Sports Newswire, talking about the world of TV sports, including a preview of NFL draft coverage that starts that night. That's Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the award-winning Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, local now, Amazon Freebie, and other multi-channel bundles. If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up on an episode you missed, simple, go to our homepage anytime you like, blogtalkradio.com/televise. blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out our website anytime, too, tomorrowbetelevised.com for the fine people and on Podium, as well as all of our wonderful podcast affiliates from Acast to Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube Music as well. We always like hearing from you. We appreciate you. You make this program fly. What do you think about the Spiderwick Chronicles? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. You can also find me on social media, LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate with you within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and other carriers of this very program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Soderberg is content executive. Website services provided by On Podium. Guitar Bacon is our web coordinator. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Remember, if you want to get 20% off on Liquid IV, go to liquidiv.com, and when you order, remember to use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's how you get the 20% off discount. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. For all of you celebrating Passover, have a great second Seder night and a great rest of your holiday that celebrates Festival of Freedom and Joy and Peace. So make sure that you tune us in again. Sports Newswire, see me in person, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network. And then that night, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing for now and then, please make it safe, make it great for you and those you love. And as always, let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with you. Till the next time, stay well and stay tuned.